Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going. Today I want to talk about this big issue that is a big issue to me. Today I'm going to speak from my heart. I know I'm going to cry already. All churches in America, big ones, this week they all have their friend who might be a black pastor next to them. And I was advised to do that by smart people as well. And we have black people every week preach at this church all the time. Earl, Teray, the list goes on and on. And the more people that I talked to at our church, especially African Americans, said, we want to hear from our pastor and hear his heart. So if you're wondering today why I don't have somebody beside me, I want to speak to the young men and women who are black, who are my sons and daughters. And I want to speak to white people. And I want to try to bring some clarity and try to bring some unity. Because as he said so eloquently a moment ago, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are from a king who has made the beauty and the scope of everyone in the whole wide world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. I wrote this statement just because I know that today, no matter what I say, I'm going to say too much for some people and not enough for others. And so these are my own words, but I wrote them down just because this has to be said. One of the things I love most about our church is that we embrace and we love all people. You guys, the people of Faith Church, have not only made a community, but a family. You go above and beyond to help the down and out and the up and out. You stand up for what's right. You go the extra mile. You give generously. When something happens in our nation, our community, you guys are always there, ready to respond with love and unity. So today, I know as we start this conversation, which isn't an easy conversation, I know you will have ears to hear and a heart to understand, because you always do, because that's what love does, that's what Faith Church does. Of course, I know part of this discussion today is not going to apply to everyone or everyone joining online, but I'm asking you to sit back, lean into God and the message he has given me for our church community today. You probably understand a lot about what's going on, but as a church, there are some things I want to make clear where I stand. And I would ask everybody to ask God, is there anything I need to hear today? I want to be not a know-it-all, but I want to be a learn-it-all. So God, help me be willing to hear, help embrace the changes that I may need to make in my heart, in my mind. There's a scripture that I want to go to first that'll set the whole tone, and this scripture is about love, and it is found in John 13:35. It says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. How do we know that we have the love of God in our heart, that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost? This week, this month, the last 3 months, as your pastor, it's been tough. I know it's been tough on you. It's been tough on me. I've missed you. You've missed me. This is a world in which we've never, ever seen. I think we all can agree on that. But I would say if you took all of that and you put it in the last 10 days, what has been happening? That has hurt my heart more than anything. I want to let you know, again, that this church is a very diverse church. I talk to a lot of pastors. I'm also want to make sure, because people are so sensitive right now, like, oh, it's great, you have black friends. I don't want any of that today. And we'll address that in a minute about some people who say, I can't be a racist, I've got a black friend. But I would just want the permission to speak to you as your pastor, and it can settle however you want at the end of this trail. But I want to help bring understanding to people. That when you get to heaven, it's going to look like this church. There's going to be black people, red people, white people, yellow people, all people, because God created all people in the likeness, in the image of God. He created each and every one of us. No one is better. No one is less. It's not a political statement, but it's real. Now, this weekend, it would be easier to say it on video and edit it or have somebody else say it for me. But I didn't build this church on Planet Safe. I built this church as a church for people to feel love, acceptance, and embrace, no matter what color, ethnicity, education, background. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it a million times. When you get to heaven, there won't be a First Baptist door, Second Baptist door, Third Baptist door, Catholic. You're going to see a bunch of doors, and if you believed in Jesus, that's the non-negotiable. Then you come in, and then I make that joke where I say, you're going to be surprised. Is God black or is he white? And he's going to say, Buenos dias, and everybody laughs. That's my weak little attempt at humor to try to tell you that God is not white. I'm going to say things tonight that are really going to make, if you've got any racism in you at all tonight, you're not going to like this sermon. The picture that somebody drew of Jesus, well, is God black? God is not an American. God came from a land where people had a tint about them, a color about them. And we cannot judge any man on anything except their heart. Because everybody in here, everybody online, we're all kind of brown in a way. In fact, you get brown. You go to Florida, and I've been quarantined in Florida, so when I was here, I left, and I was white, and then I turned kind of brown, and under my armpits, where it doesn't get a lot of sun, it's kind of white. And the thing is true where some people are judged because they're not black enough. They're not white enough. Some people say, well, he can't represent because he's not black enough. He can't represent because he's not white enough. Pastor Omar, he doesn't count because he's not really black. That's what they say to me this week, some people. He was black enough for them to call him and his black wife the N-word in Fenton, and he decided to move to Ferguson because of the color of his skin. And that makes me mad, and I can't do anything about that person who said that, but I can and you can make a difference to say people ought to be able to live wherever they want to live, and they ought to be able to drive wherever they want to drive, and they ought to be able to go to church wherever they want. And I didn't want a church that 11 o'clock was the most segregated hour in America. I want us to look like heaven, where everybody has the right to say, he's my God. And he's not black, he's not white, he is God! I want to talk about conversations that I've had over life that might help you. Some of you have been here long enough to remember one of our dear worship pastors, Manuelo West. Anybody remember Manuelo? Manuelo went to school and college with a guy by the name of Herbert Cooper. Herbert married a girl who was white, Tiffany. Herbert is incredibly educated, well-spoken. Any day of the week could out, you know, orator-wise, preach me. Phenomenal. But he and Tiffany fell in love, and now he pastors a humongous church in Oklahoma City. They do together. She fell in love with him, and she brought him home to meet the family. He loved sports, and the dad loved sports. He was white, Herbert's black. He was educated, the dad was educated. The only thing that really separated them was the color of his skin. And Herbert knew when he walked into the room, and Tiffany knew when he walked into the room, that he was going to have to win this guy over simply based on the color of his skin, in which he had nothing to do with, which, by the way, kind of sounds derogatory. There's nothing wrong with being born the unique, beautiful way that you were born. Don't apologize for being black, and white people, don't apologize for being white. You've heard me say it a million times. I can't do anything about it, but I try to tan it because tan fat looks better than white fat. So this weekend, I want to share with you that he had to overcome some obstacles. Tiffany says that she didn't really realize being a white girl, what white privilege means. And again, as you can see, I'm not staring at my notes. They're here. But I'm just trying to say the things I feel like the Lord wants me to say. I'm not, again, going to say it all. Pastor David, you should address this. And Pastor David, you should address that. I'm doing the best I can considering this is the most emotional week and I'm unhinged in a lot of areas of my life right now and I'm overwhelmed that I need to go back, but I'm scared I'm going back, and it's just, I'm just asking you to hear me out. Tiffany, married to Herbert, didn't realize the white privilege that she had until her sons turned 16 and she realized, oh my God, I have to teach them when they get pulled over by the cops that they have to turn the engine off, turn the interior lights on, throw their hands out the window. And she never thought about that. And maybe you tonight have never thought about that. I had conversations this week with a lot of people. So anybody who thinks I'm talking about you, don't think it's you, because I've talked to a lot of people this week. And some people say, that white privilege, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I built, I've heard that from many people. And most of those people, they're not racist, honestly. They just are uninformed. They don't know. But until you see the paper from the other angle, then you don't realize that we've got to walk in love, but we also have to walk in light. So that's what most people, not all people, but most people mean by white privilege. I know this firsthand. One of my spiritual sons, you got to understand that I pastor thousands of African Americans. It wasn't intentional. It was because that I was created to do that from a child. I've told you my dad listened to Merle Haggard. I listened to Put On Your Red Dress, Let All Your Hair Down, Johnny Gill, Belle Biv DeVoe, all that. I did that. Then in the inner city, went to the hood, and it's unpopular to say that, but that's what it was, and risked my life, and KBN went with me, and Omar went with me, and we just did it without the funding of the churches. When I wasn't a pastor, my dad was there, and those were the seeds that I was sowing into the black community that I reaped now to have the privilege to be their pastor and to speak into their lives. And so tonight, I want to speak into not only white people's lives, but help white people understand the diversity of black people. And I want to be clear and say to the black people who might be mad at me right now, I don't know what it's like to be black. This is my attempt from my heart. I could have played it safe and hired somebody to do this for me. Could have had somebody with me kind of pulling me back and pushing me forward. But I wanted you to understand that I owe it to the little African-American boys and girls who have grabbed my leg at the Christmas place for 16 years. Looking at me and watching them grow and grow when I couldn't pick them up anymore. And now I look at them and they're like this, to let you know that I want to speak into their lives and say, you do matter. You are called of God. You do have a purpose. And I stand behind you. And as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we will always stand behind you. This is not a racist church. There is only one God-given privilege, and that is that we were all created in the image and the likeness of God. God created male and female. That's the only difference. You're no less than. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you and gave himself for you. And I don't want you to go around with a chip on your shoulder thinking they're looking at me funny and I can never be. You can do exactly what God told you to do, and this is still your banner year. This is the year for you to come out of prison, and the prison of racism is being broken this very year. Somebody ought to give him praise tonight. Oppression. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed. Learn to do right. Amos 5:24 says, but let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Justice. Helping white people understand for a moment. And I also, at some point, scary as it is, want to help black people understand why some white people think the way they think. Are there racist white people? Absolutely. Racism is real, and I want to make sure everybody hears me loud and clear, and it is wrong and must be abolished, and we cannot stand for it, and we're doing things to try to, you know, help with marches and protest and not burn down buildings, but say something's wrong with this, and we must change that. It's wrong. It's not just. It's not right. But in my earliest recollection, a preacher by the name of Carvel and his wife named Gwen. My dad heard that they were going to the laundromat and they didn't even have the quarters to do their laundry, so they would take what they could. Well, my dad heard about that. We lived at 426 Herc in Lima, Missouri, and he invited Gwen and Carvel to do their laundry at our house. Well, if you can imagine, in probably 1978, the people in the white neighborhood, shame to say that, but there are those things, which I hope is going to go away someday. And my dad invited them over and allowed them to do their laundry. And people have a hard time with it. Neighbors did. But then the next thing I know, my dad, because they couldn't pay their rent, he allowed them to just live with us. We're not here all the time. And so they lived with us. So for the black people that say that I don't have the right to talk about, I have a long, long line of things that I'm just trying to inform white people. I'm not saying that I know everything about black people, but I'm trying to help white people see that there's beauty in the diversification, but also the racism. You've never lived that way. I would hear them yelling the N-word at us. Why do you let those blankety blanks live at your house? All this stuff that was going on. But to me, I was like, Dad, what are they saying? Going to, this is going to bring you light. When my dad left the police department, by the way, not all cops are bad, but there are a lot of bad cops. But also that not all people are bad, but there are a lot of white people that are bad, and there are a lot of black people that are bad. There are bad people everywhere, but there are good people everywhere. And never throw all cops in one pile and all. And I do believe in policing the police, and I know people will get mad at me, and I might get tickets and might be thrown in jail. But I do believe that justice must roll on, but somebody has to speak up for justice, and somebody has to march, and somebody has to peacefully protest. But we also have to remember that most of all, we have to pray. And for the people who say we've been praying forever, I get that. Faith without works is dead, but it all must be done in love, because love never fails. What is hate? Hate can't drive out hate. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And I realize some people will be upset with me on this. I'm not preaching a sermon this weekend. I'm trying to bring clarity. Do you understand me? Raise your hand if you just understand. So now we go to Mississippi in the 70s. We live in this motorhome. Not because we're rich. It was everything. My dad sold everything. We lived in a trailer, like a mobile home trailer in Fenton. And in the late 70s, he sold it all and bought this motorhome, and we lived out of it. And you've heard the story where we would have to look for soda bottles every day to try to pay for, you know, get some food. So we didn't have much money, but we went into Mississippi, we rolled in, and there was this group of little African-American boys, and they were walking on their hands trying to raise money, flipping around, doing cool little tricks, and they were out in front of the ice cream store, and my dad stopped, and with the last few dollars that he had, he bought all of them ice cream, and he brought them, some of you heard this story before, he brought them to the meeting that night and said, be at the church, we're going to be here for a week having revival. And as soon as we went to the doorsteps, the deacon board, met my dad at the front steps. Now, I'm about this big, but I watched how my dad handled racism. They said, these people can't come into this church because they're black. My dad said, well, if they can't come in, I can't come in. They said, well, I guess you're not coming in. My dad said, that's fine. We're going to get in the motorhome, and we're going to leave. And they said, well, we've advertised it. What are we going to do? So they finally agreed, as I stood there, to let him in. But not this one. The oldest boy, he was about 12, he had no shoes. Why? Because his dad, of all those children, were in prison. By the way, there are some things that need to be done there. So these poor boys are now being raised in a single mom. No real dad to speak into their life. By the way, that's exactly why I'm speaking today. Because I speak into the lives of white people, for sure, but predominantly I am the spiritual father of a lot of black sons, unfortunately, because sometimes It's a single mom, most of the time, at our church who brings these little boys to Pastor Omar, or Pastor Phil, or all of our team, and we do our best. Do we do it all right? No, but I'm here to tell you that that's the reason why I'm speaking today, to speak into their lives while they're hurt, because they have a reason to be hurt, but I want white people to understand why maybe they're hurt. Hurt people hurt people. So they said, he can't come in because he don't have shoes on. My dad says, what size shoe do you wear? He says, a 9. My dad had one beautiful pair of preaching shoes. Maybe you can remember this. It was white in the middle and black on the side. There were floor shimes, and they were his prized preaching shoes. And he takes them off of his feet, and he puts them on the boy's feet. Takes his socks off and puts them on the boy. There was no cameras there. There was no social media. I was watching my dad say, we're going to do what we can about it. And so now my dad goes up with no shoes and preaches a sermon. I don't remember the sermon, but I remember the deed that was done outside to say, that's wrong. And if it is wrong, we're going to try to make it right. And I believe that's what I want to continue to do with the rest of my life. I'm a half 100, but I think I might have 50 more to go. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life letting everybody know that God loves black people. God loves white people. God loves red people. He loves everybody. He created this entire world. And the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But what's in the world? I don't want it in our church. Don't buy into it for one second. We are the church, and we have the answer. Now, at the end, this will teach you something. At the end of the week, we were there, and my dad takes all of them and puts them in the motorhome, and we go to that one last trip to the ice cream store. And my dad wants to make sure that they know that Jesus is the answer. And so he looks down at the littlest one, about this tall, and says, do you know who Jesus is? And I'm about to say something that I've always said, which is going to be corrected from here on, because I learned something this week. The little kid looks up at my dad and says, You know what Jesus is? And said, you is. And it was so cute. Now, with conversations, I asked this week some people about that story. And they said, the part is beautiful until you say, you is. It should be, you are. So I want to be the type of person to say, okay, all we have to do is change that. You are. My point is to everyone to understand, if people feel like they're being profiled, if they feel like you're assuming that they're less than, not as smart as, that's the way it happened, but it doesn't add to the story or take the story away. I'm telling you, we have to figure out in this moment of conflict how we can make sure that if a word is offensive, if something is offensive, you know what's greater than all the words in the world? The word L-O-V-E, the love riot that we had here when Michael Brown was shot, and we had black people and white people. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. And you might say, well, I don't understand that. I'm not asking you to understand. I'm asking us to change and do what's right and be just and be sensitive to what God would speak to us. There's a passage I want to read from. It said, murder begins in the heart. It says, you have heard it said that from those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, reka, which means empty one or worthless one, you shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall also be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. Anger. Murder. Things that I see that are happening right now outside the church, and I watch it creep into the church. I don't want that. This is the most diverse church. In fact, the biggest African American denomination in the world called me last week and said, can you talk to us this last week? this next week, which I will this week, because we've built a very diverse church. One of the ways that we built a diverse church is because I see color. All the white preachers always said for years, I don't see color. And you've heard me say this. Raise your hand if you've heard me say that don't ride with that person because they won't know if they're red. It's a red light, a yellow light, or a green light. Would you please raise your hand online? Talk to me. All that is intentional. I've seen this for so many years. And I see color, but not in a judgmental way. I see it as in the beauty of it. Yet at the same time, when I talked to someone on our staff this last week, they said, when I walked out of the gym in Florida into the parking garage, I saw a white woman walking and I knew she was terribly afraid, and I started smiling to disarm her because that's what I've done my whole life, and I realized I have a mask on. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Hopefully that brings perspective to you. Let's talk about vision, culture. That's what we're talking about. Justice, being discriminated about. The Bible's full of discrimination. Jesus was discriminated against. David was discriminated against. Esther was discriminated against. Discrimination is nothing new, but also it's been kind of swept under the rug a little bit in America. Well, not a little bit, a whole lot. And now, for the first time, I want to talk to all my black brothers and sisters. For the first time, I do see light at the end of the tunnel. Because there never has been protesting in all 50 states at the same time. There never has been protesting in 15 other countries. And I'm not saying for other people to say, oh, you're validating all this. I'm not validating violence. But I am validating people's rights. In fact, tomorrow, and in Florida, I already did it. But tomorrow, I'm walking through a protest myself. I'm not going to loot, but I'm going to let people know I'm on the side of God. I'm on the side of equality. I'm on the side of abolishing racism. I am on the side of freedom for every man, every woman, and every boy. And if you're not on that side, then you need another church with a different pastor, because I want to do what's right because it's right, and I want a diverse church. And if you don't like this church, you're going to hate heaven, because when you get there, if you do get there with hate out of your heart, you will see that God says, isn't that beautiful? Because everybody deserves equality. Matthew 5, write it down, read it later. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. Be a peacemaker. And all my African American sons, and I'm saying that wrong because in Florida they get mad at me because they go, I'm not African American, I'm Bahamian. I'm not African American, I'm Panamanian. So my apologies. The right way to say it is black people. And my brown people, Latinos. And my white people. Learn to modify through conversations. Because I was exposed to such diversity all through my life, and I raised Ashton in such a diverse church, that I will be flabbergasted if she marries a white guy. I told that to a young white guy the other day who's in love with her, and I said, I don't think you have a chance because you're the wrong color. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that the person is full of God, the person is motivated towards God, and the person wants more of God, and the person has a father speaking into them, even if their biological father is gone. The Bible said you have many teachers, but few fathers. But I don't want anybody going around with a chip on their shoulders. Let's talk about Black Lives Matter for a minute. Why? Because so many people have understanding about some people that might fund certain groups, but the fact is, take that, I'm asking you right now. To take that out of the equation, what you know about some organization that might be doing something bad, just like you would for me, there are some preachers you might be watching on my TV right now, and just because you heard that some TV preachers are bad, you can't throw me in the TV preacher because I'm not. I'm a pastor who's on TV. The difference is I don't say, do you feel like sending me $1,000 right now? God's telling me to tell you to send $1,000. We're going to send you this holy oil, and it'll set you free for the rest of your life. I say, hey, if you come to church, we're not pointing the finger to this way. We're pointing the finger to this way. We don't want anything from you, but we're here to tell you that God's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He wants to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. All this language is culture I'm giving you that you have heard out of my mouth for years. That's what I built this church on. So if you take away Black Lives Matter because some people in an organization have made that bad, Black lives do matter. So people say, well, what about white lives? Don't they matter? Of course they matter. All lives matter, but here's the best illustration that I have. My daughter told it to me this week, and I loved it. She said, if four little boys get stung by a bee, or if there are four little boys and only one gets stung by a bee, and they put Neosporin on the one that got stung by the bee, and they put a Band-Aid on the one by the bee that got stung by the bee, does that mean the boys who weren't stung, they don't matter? If there are four houses in a subdivision, and there was one that was burning down, and they only bring the water hose to the one, does that mean the other houses don't matter? No. All houses matter. All people matter. In this moment right now, Black people are the people that have been suppressed, abused, and now it's okay to say, in my book, Black lives matter. Well, I just think that's too sensitive. Sorry, I'm just trying to not make you think a certain way. I'm trying to show you that sometimes certain systems through systemic racism have set up an advantage. How many right-handed people do I have in the building, even at home, or maybe right down, right hand, hold it real high, right? Look around, everybody. It's okay. Look around. Okay, put your hand down. Put your hand up if you're left-handed. Very few. Left-handed people struggle in life because our world is set up for right-handed people. Can't go just to the store and get a glove, a pitching glove, golf clubs, if you're left-handed. Because it's set up. Does that mean that left-handed people are no good? No, it just means that they're left-handed. So this system in which we're living in right now, we have to make sure that we understand we're going through something right now. You ought to read the story Jesus told about the Samaritan woman. That was a story of racism. And instead of trying to go around it, he went through Samaria because he wanted to deal with the racism. Tonight, instead of going around Samaria, instead of dealing with the racism, I didn't hire anybody in. I'm not doing that. We could have done that. I have loads of Black friends, loads of Black pastors. But I didn't want to go into this weekend feeling like that I was on trial because my ministry speaks for what it is. And I want to make sure that I'm speaking for what this is. And this is racism and it is wrong. And I'm going to do what I can do. And I trust that you're going to go with me to help change the world and free people and allow them to be who they're called to be. Because when Jesus went through Samaria, you know what he did? He changed the city. I wasn't here to build a big church. I wanted to build a healthy church, and I wanted to change the city. And so that's what it is. Now, Faith Church is the biggest church in town. That's part of the reason why we play the way we play and do what we do and try to play along during COVID as best I could to try to set good examples for people. I just want you to understand, I understand a little bit more than some people. Don't have it all figured out, but I want to help white people understand right hand, left hand. Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. It didn't say let us make white man, brown man, yellow man. He said, let us make man in our own image. You were created in the image of God. So what do I mean by that? I mean, try to identify with everything that you can amongst people. Stereotyping of people. I hear this a lot, and I've heard this my whole life. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Maybe not. But I'm cautious about that because sometimes it's not racist or intentional. It's just you've never been around a different people group. So you automatically prefer or assume that or say they, or if the white preacher mostly says, I don't see color, and you know, dude, you're a liar. You only say that to black people. So, like, it's really a screwed up statement. We see color. So at this church, I don't want people going, oh, hey, how do I just be you? Enjoy you, but be around people and raise your kids around people. And also, make sure you validate your uniqueness. I found that in Psalms 139, verse 14. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. So validate the uniqueness. God is an artist. And he created the rainbow. And he created the world. I know for sure he likes blue and green a lot because you just drive down the road and the whole sky's blue and the whole thing's green. And I wonder, because blue and green aren't my favorite colors, but I'm like, I think he likes that color. How many ever thought of that? Maybe I'm the only weird one. But it's like, it wasn't a preference. I want you to not have a preference. I want you to understand that God is an artist. And that's why a lot of times for me, fearfully and wonderfully made in the uniqueness of it makes me get a lot of heat from white people while I built this church. They don't stay long. When I make statements like, mixed babies are the prettiest babies, and we all know that, then I'll get a bunch of emails from white people going, what are you saying, white babies aren't pretty? I shouldn't say that. Probably will stop saying that. Just my preference. I think your little white kid's pretty. I think your little black kid's pretty. But there's just something about the mixture and the beauty of it. And maybe that's the thing that I love about it, is I want to build a church where it is mixed and educate you of what little I do know, but I'm learning. I'm always sitting down and talking to people and having people speak into my life. So I can understand what black people call a dog whistle. Do you know what a dog whistle is, like in racism? We blow on that whistle, and the dog's like, but you can't hear it, never hurt you, because you didn't hear it. But the dog's, certain things trigger black people because it's a dog whistle to them. Things that you would never know. And that's why I want you to get involved in small groups. I want you to get around black people and just talk, because at our church, you're probably going to have a hard time going up to somebody and talking to them and them going, go educate yourself. Like, don't do that. They're trying to say, teach me, help me. Because if we trust the world system, think about it, in the church, I'm not talking about the world, it's faith church, this is what I wish, that you could educate each other to have a better understanding and teachable spirit and a hope, open heart. I want to be, as I read in that statement at the beginning, not a know-it-all, but a learn-it-all. So when cops do this or people do this and you see that, that'll set a black person off in a minute, because that means white privilege. Most of you who are white probably didn't know that. Raise your hand so the black people can see your hand where you said, I thought it meant I'm okay. Okay, so that will set them off. So when certain images go up, they say, oh my gosh. And not saying, because it would look to me, before for somebody at our church educated me, the monitor guy, I might be like up here singing like, this is how I fight my battles. And my monitor's good. And I'm looking at the guy going, give me more, Evan. Give me more, Evan. Give me more, Evan. And then I'll look at him and go like this. Somebody had to tell me, don't do that. I just think that's too much. I'm just telling you, the world in which we live in right now, we need to understand that if it's offensive to our brother, it's offensive to our sister, we need to understand that we want to be a church of equality. We want to be a church that hears people that are different than us. And it's not us. Remember, the Bible says Judge not, lest you be judged. I'm almost done. I'm really not even close to done, but I'm going to have to be done. It's been kind of wild preaching at home. Like when I was done, I just walked upstairs and put on my shorts. Now I'm like, I got to drive home. How many of y'all, in a way, really miss it, but in a way, it's kind of cool. You're like, oh, yeah. Those are the people that are home right now, like, I ain't really going back. I'm afraid of Corona. It's up to you. Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. That's what I mean by saying, that hurt me. Be tenderhearted. Well, I don't think they, I think we should, just let it go. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly and affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honoring, giving preference one to another. Not lagging in diligence, with a fervent spirit, rejoicing. Don't lag in diligence. Some things that we have done, we're not going to go through all the millions of things that we've done to make Faith Church what it is over the years. But I will say going forward, I want to do more. I love what Will Smith said this last week. The racism is not getting worse, it's getting filmed. And I agree. I want you to know that I believe that God, at the end of this, is taking what was wrong and he's making it right. But we have to make sure that we don't get in the flesh and try to help God by pushing something that would divide us from our brothers and sisters. Whether you're black or you're white, we have to make sure that we're walking in love. You have no right to be mean because you're black, and you have no right to be mean because you're white. I'm talking to you like a dad right now. We all get to get along if you're going to go to heaven, because you cannot go to heaven and be a murderer. And if you have anger towards your brother, you are a murderer. You got to get that out of your heart. And I realize you've been hurt, and I realize you've been betrayed, and we're going to do stuff about it. We are going to create more things like the Love Riot and marches. And we are, even financially, have always done things. But in a moment, we're going to pray over some seeds that we've sown. We're getting ready to sow this next week. But I want us all to stand right now, and I want to pray this prayer, which I have written down. And they'll put it on the screens, and I want you to agree along with me. And Nicole, I want you to join me in a moment. Let's pray for our nation. Our nation, God, it is in you that we trust. We pray that your presence would saturate every city, every state, every zip code, and every soul. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray for freedom from racism. God, that we would recognize and honor your divine image and likeness in every human being. We pray that this demonic spirit of racism in America would be destroyed at the very root from which it was formed and removed by the mighty name of Jesus. May your love and your light replace every fear and every shadow. Because God, you created man in your image, in your likeness, created you male and female. And let us love others as well as you have loved, and we love ourselves. God, we pray for justice for all. Lord, we pray that divine wisdom, strategy, grace, to bring vindication to the violence, the voiceless, the protection of the unguarded, bring justice for all. God, in your word in Isaiah, we pray, Isaiah 1:17, that we learn to do right and we seek justice and we defend the oppressed. We ask that justice roll on like a river in righteousness. God, we pray for the brokenhearted. God, we pray for the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and the many others who have been victims of racism and police brutality and injustice in our country. And we ask, God, that you would be near to all who grieve in the pain of their loss, and that hope would rise in the hearts of the discouraged. Because, God, we know that you're close to the brokenhearted and you rescue all those who are of a crushed spirit. God, the church, we pray that the church would be the light to shine fiercely and a beacon of hope through your church, through our community, through our service. We pray that we may position our hearts to be vessels through which your love will prevail. You said, God, in your word, I will build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. God, we pray for those that are in service. God, we pray for those who are in authority and leadership and in service to our nation and our people. And God, we ask for the Holy Spirit to flow through every level and every office and every department and every station, removing any who abuse power, convicting all who commit crime, and protecting all those who carry out your peace, elevating those who can bring true systemic change. May that be Faith Church. God, we pray for places of business. We declare, Lord, your favor and your restoration over every business owner and over their employees that might have been affected economically during this time. In the name of Jesus, that you'll take care of their losses, God. God, we pray for peace and unity right now. It is in you that we trust. It's in you that we pray. It's in your presence that we saturate every city, every state, every zip code, and every soul in the mighty, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus. Satan, we take authority over you today. And God, you said in your word, whatever we bind shall be bound. Whatever we loose shall be loose. I bind racism. I bind terrorism. I bind police brutality. I bind hate. I bind crime. And I loose love in St. Louis today, in the gateway of the West, in the middle of the country right now. God, we release it throughout, from north to south to east and west. And I say this thing is coming to a quick, swift end. And freedom is coming. Racial equality is coming. In the name above all names, Jesus' name. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I want to encourage you to share this podcast. And here's the reason why. You know, a lot of times we see our friends and they don't tell us what's really going on. You go, hey, Bob, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down in their soul, something's going on. And I believe today there were certain things that was said that perhaps would help your friends. So now that you've subscribed, why don't you just text them? Let them know about this resource that's available. Of course, you can check out more sermons at faithchurch.com. And I love praying for you, trying to encourage you in the best way that I can. And I think the best thing we can do is to encourage one another by sharing these podcasts.